Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. My message thought today, which I plan on continuing, is the day Christ was born. What all happened? What happened when Christ was born? It's going to take more than one sermon for me to get through this, so I'll probably be back to this same thought next Sunday morning, Lord willing. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. What a great prophetic verse. What a tremendous verse of prophecy that has to do with the place where Christ was born. You know, the Bible not only talks about, prophesies a person that will be born, but the Bible also prophesies a place that that person would be born. And that's exactly what Micah is doing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven today, we thank you for this service, and Lord, we thank you for this time of the year. We thank you for the event that took place that we celebrate today, especially the Christian celebrates today. We thank you that God became man. We're thankful today that Jesus was virgin born, as the Bible says. Now, Lord, bless us today. Meet needs today in human hearts. Save the soul that could be here lost. And I pray today, Heavenly Father, if there's someone in this service that has not received the greatest Christmas gift of all, salvation through Christ, that they would receive that gift today. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, the birthday of Christ was announced to a group of people at the world at that time, and the initial announcement was to a group of humble people. Shepherds got the news rather early. It's really interesting. You know, every year when we approach this time of the year, our hearts and our thoughts and our moods and our attention change towards what this event is all about, and certainly the people of God. His birthday was announced, actually, hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever took place. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Interestingly enough, and I read that verse this morning, it mentions Bethlehem Ephratah. You probably know that Bethlehem means house of bread. You also know that Bethlehem was somewhere around about 6 miles from Jerusalem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephratah means fruitful. You can take those two words, put them together, and they certainly would describe to us, would speak to us concerning the person that was born. We know that when Jesus was born, the message that the shepherds received was tidings of great joy. We can say today that the message of the birth of Christ is a message that causes joy. It spells hope. It offers peace. The announcement of the birth of Christ, there's something else dramatic and very important that occurred. We know that it verified the inspiration of Scripture, because we understand that Jesus was born on time. He was born in the place that the prophets announced. He came to this world right on time, and so nothing was out of order. Now, may I say today, the birth of Christ and the substitutionary work of Christ are kindred truths. You can't have one without the other. Jesus could not have died a substitutionary death if he had not been virgin born. And I know that this church understands the reason for that. We've talked about that many times. He had to be virgin born. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world has now arrived. As we read the book of Luke chapter 2, as we read the book of Matthew chapter 1. He came on schedule. He was born at the exact time that God had predicted and God had declared. He came on time. He died on time. He ascended on time. And by the way, he'll be back again the second time on time. Nothing will keep that from happening. He was born of a virgin. He lived for roughly 33 and a half years upon this earth. Then he, of course, went to the cross. He was born to die. He wasn't simply born to give the world an opportunity to have a wonderful Christmas pageant and talk about the nativity scene. No, you cannot see the nativity scene without seeing the cross. You cannot have one without the other. The Bible says, the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And so, everything was on time. It was time to celebrate his coming when he came. The shepherds arrived, the magi arrived, and you know the rest of the Christmas story. We could talk about the cast of characters that were involved in that Christmas scene. And I've got a message that I've preached before where we attempt to try to single out all of the cast of characters. And much could be said about each one of the characters that would make up the Christmas story. In your mind, if you could imagine having all of them appear on this stage, if you could imagine, we would have them all up front and we could ask them questions and they could tell their stories. My, how fascinating and important it would be, the cast of Christmas characters. It was a great cause to ring the bells when Jesus was born. You know, I like that song that sometimes we have sung here at our church. Come on, ring the bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is a king born for you and me. Come on, ring the bells, let everybody say, Jesus, we remember this, your birthday. I really like that song, as I like all songs that have to do with Christ being born. But the day that Jesus was born, the day that Christ was born, just what happened? We know the basic story. Actually, there's no way to preach a Christmas message without repeating what we already know. But yet it's still refreshing every time we hear it. In fact, it would be very much in order. Every Sunday morning, we could preach a message on the birth of Christ. And it would never get stale. It would never get old. It still would be a blessing to hear. Because he had to be born of a virgin. He had to be born when he was born. And oh, we could say so much, but we could never exhaust all of the great truths and rubies and nuggets that are tied up with what took place when Christ was born. But when Christ was born, let me begin by putting it this way. The prophecies of the Bible were cited. The prophecies of the Bible were cited. There are many prophecies of the Bible. Here Micah talks about the place where he would be born. We know that Isaiah said that he would be virgin born. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, even said. Government shall be upon his shoulders, name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Lord shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. So you see, prophecies were cited. When Jesus was born, it was not an afterthought of God. Everything, every detail, every little minute jot and tittle that took place in connection to the birth of Christ was orderly arranged by God Almighty in His sovereign will. Interestingly enough, and again, I'm not preaching something that you haven't already heard. In fact, I've stated these things before. At the time that Christ was born, we know that Mary, Joseph, were a part of the custom at that time, part of the tax system. They had to enroll to comply with the census required by the Roman emperor that would bring them to the very strategic place to where we read about here in the book of Micah. that Christ would be born. They had to involve themselves in the taking of that census. The place and the person had been prophesied. The manner and birth had been prophesied. And again, I will say, because you cannot overemphasize the fact, the virgin birth was absolutely essential for him to be Redeemer. Keep in mind now, the scriptures make it very clear that he is God. He never knew sin. He couldn't sin. He had no earthly father. He had to be virgin born. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now keep that in mind. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the living Word. Where it says, in the beginning was the Word, that lets us understand that He is co-eternal with the Father. In the beginning. He was in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning. He is co-eternal. You always have to realize there is a Holy Trinity. They have always existed. When Jesus was born, that was not the beginning of God the Son. He has always existed. In the beginning was the Word. He was there. In fact, He, as has been pointed out, and Brother Glenn's even covered this in his Sunday school class, He is the divine creator Himself. He's the one that created. In fact, He upholds all things by the word of His power. He is the divine creator. What a truth that our minds cannot begin to comprehend except to take it by faith. And understand, like so much of the Bible anyway, we have to accept it by faith, not by human logic or human understanding. There's more that we certainly cannot understand. And by the way, somebody one time said this. They said, whenever we can begin to understand God, then He's no longer God. Ponder that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is co-eternal. The Word was with God. The Word was coexisting with God. He's always existed. He's always been there with the Father. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is co-equal. The Word was God. Now, to safeguard that doctrinal vital truth, He had to be virgin born. Remember, He's the seed of the woman, not the man. Seed of the woman. He could not have an earthly father. His blood could not be tainted with the blood of fallen Adam's race. He had to bypass birth with human father. He had to be supernaturally conceived of the Holy Ghost, exactly as the Bible says. And that guards, that assures, and that verifies, and that couples with His redemptive work. Had He had sin, He could not have been Redeemer. If He would have had an earthly father, He could not have qualified to be a substitute for our sin. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When Christ was born, prophecies were literally fulfilled. Fulfilled. You know, I will mention this for what it's worth. Two genealogies are given in Matthew and Luke, too. His right to the Davidic throne comes through Joseph. Luke traces his descent through Mary to Adam and connects him with the predicted seed of the woman. Now, you'll notice this. Matthew says, and Eliab beget Eleazar, and Eleazar beget Mathan, and Mathan beget Joseph. And Jacob, or beget Jacob. And Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Christ was born. Or of whom was born Christ, Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now in Matthew 1:20, and I'm reading all of this to kind of help us to get the whole picture here. Matthew 1:20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Here's what I'm saying. The origin of Jesus' birth was through Joseph, was not through Joseph. Not through Joseph, but through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Although he was born of a human mother, the conception by the Holy Spirit conveyed or guaranteed the sinlessness of Christ. And so, that's the purpose of it all. You know, the world today, 99.9% of it, doesn't get it. They don't understand what's going on right now. They could a bit more understand or appreciate the songs that we heard sung today than nothing. Because it's all about making money. Merchants are having a heyday. Cash registers are clicking. I mean, people today are taking it in. Sunday, right now, while I'm up here preaching, stores are open. People are Christmas shopping. And they're having a time of their life out there. I mean, things are being sold and sold and sold. And of course, later on, things will be taken back. And you know how that all works. But prophecies were cited. When Christ was born, prophecies were cited. I tell you, I never get tired of repeating a basic point. The Bible is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Everywhere you go, you can't miss seeing Him. Now try to think about this. 600 or 700 years before Christ was born, Micah, the minor prophet, said, oh, by the way, He's going to be born in Bethlehem. You know, if there's any aspect of the Bible that ought to convict the gainsayers, the naysayers, and the doubters, it ought to be the accurate fulfillment of prophecy. I mean, right down to the spot. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. You know, there's one thing I don't quite understand today. The anti-Semitism that's going on in our country. Around the world where people have got it out against Jewish people. And what's rather strange is you have even some Jewish people in this country that are anti-Semitic in their own rights. They're more politically minded than they are homeland minded. Some of them are more tied in with the politics than they are their homeland. You know, it ought to cause every Jew in this country to jump up and click their heels together and say hallelujah that our president officially established the embassy there in Israel. But no, they don't get it. Because the baggage of political mess has their minds blinded. But you see, there's so much that just fits in place. The prophet said He's coming. The prophet's named His name. The prophet's named the place. The prophet said how He'd be born. It's all right there. Genesis, right on through Malachi. The message was clear. He's on the way. Get ready. Then we come to the Gospels and we see He's here. And then He went to the cross and He died. And He proved that He paid sin's debt in full because He was raised from the dead. If He had not been risen, then He would have died in sin. You know, when it comes right down to it, we need to preach two messages, keep them together every time we preach any one of them. We have a We have a Christmas message and we have an Easter message every time we preach the gospel. Do you know that's true? Every time a preacher preaches a gospel, we have a Christmas message and an Easter message combined and brought together. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. And Paul says that's a gospel. Now, He couldn't die according to the Scriptures. He couldn't do all of that and be resurrected if He had not been virgin born. So there you have the Christmas story tied in with the Easter story. You had to have them both. When Christ was born, prophecies were cited. It was another instance where God said, just like I said it was going to happen, right down to the place, Bethlehem, Ephrata. House of bread. House of bread. The bread of life came. Fruitful. Oh, you're talking about fruitfulness. Have the Lord in your life. You really will have fruit. When Christ was born, prophecies were cited. Number two, when Christ was born, heaven got excited, didn't it? Heaven got excited. Multitudes would join in to sing. All the angels, of course. I think of their appearance unto the shepherds, and I think of all of the things involved, but it was still the world's way of saying at that time, happy birthday, wasn't it? Christmas should be a time of joy. It should be. The old Christmas song, in fact, by the way, a guy wrote a song one time entitled Finding the Joy of Christmas. David Crabtree was his name, wrote a song entitled Finding the Joy of Christmas. We know how to find it, don't we? We found it. We're all still looking. But the old Christmas song says it's the most wonderful time of the year. And for the Christian, that should ring true. It should. But yet many Christians, I'd say we have them right here in this church. Christmas is a season to survive. It becomes a survival time for many. In fact, what happens? What has happened? You and me know today that we've got people in our church right here. We've got people in our families. That Christmas is not going to be the same. It's going to be an empty seat at the Christmas table this year. I don't know of any church for its size that has any more widows in it than what we have here at this church. Some new widows were made this year. Bobby's one of them seated over here. Others. And Christmas doesn't seem to be the same. But you know what, my friend? Like the verse says, if in this world only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Thank God today, our hope goes beyond this life. Our hope is anchored today in the blood. We believe that God, when He saves a person, God gives that person a home in heaven when they die. And we believe today because He was virgin born, because of His vicarious death, because of His victorious resurrection, we believe that our loved ones today are in good hands. And our table seating this year may have been changed a little bit, but there our loved ones are seated at a better table this Christmas. And somehow, if we can realize that, but yet we're human. And you know, it is a fact. Depression, grief, loneliness have exacerbated many families this time of the year. Shattered, it has shattered family circumstances. Then we think of increased debt loads because of Christmas spending. Christmas calendars are overloaded, causing us to think in terms of just getting through the holidays. We're left to wonder sometimes if the postcard Christmas exists does Christmas even exist anymore. But what happened to the snowy yuletide of our youth? We look back, and we all do, don't we? Oh, to be a child at Christmas. Why, the sky was the limit, wasn't it? I love to think about when I was a kid at Christmas. I love to even think about it now. It's a joke. But I love to think about it. We'd have our Christmas. Santa would get to our house. Imagine the preacher saying Santa from the pulpit. He'd come to our house on Christmas Eve night. My mom and dad, they'd send us off to a room somewhere. We'd go off in a room, and then Santa would come, and we'd come out of that room, and under the tree would be our gifts. And then, now try to imagine this scene. I try to imagine a scene up a hollow, called Smokeless Hollow, or up a hollow in West Virginia where I would live and have my Christmas as a child. Cold, snowy many times. Well, we'd open the gifts, cap guns, BB pistols, whatever the case might be, or BB guns. We'd start playing with those toys on Christmas Eve night, and we'd stay up half the night. By morning, most of us would succeed in having every one of them broken. Our Christmas was over. Toys were broken. My parents would give my sisters a baby doll that had a crier in them. Then my brother, he'd go to work. He'd perform surgery. I declare we thought our brother was going to be a heart surgeon. He'd tear into my sister's dolls. He'd cut them. He'd take that crier out. He did that many times. Next time he preaches, remind him of it. Then I have to listen to my sisters cry it all night. But we had fun. And that was a simple Christmas for us. But now, someone wrote this, they put it like this, but where are we today? How come Christians, people that know the Lord, why can't we by faith overlook, look through, somehow let God help us to still keep the joy that God intended as we celebrate the fact His Son came on time to the right place on time and has accomplished the mighty work of redemption that you and I are going to enjoy forever we that are saved. Somebody put it like this, and let me just read the quote. Christmas has been hijacked by cynics, exploited by capitalists, and trampled by consumers. Christmas cheer comes under a withering attack. The checkout lines go on forever with growl and whine when only one of 10 registers is open. There is no charity in the mall, parking lot. We hunt the elusive parking space like wolves. Cheap-suited Santas charge a king's ransom for a picture of little Eddie or Tiffany crying. December is full of long, clamorous days culminating in the wearied singing of silent night, exhausted by cantatas, parties, shopping, feasting, families, and travel. We arrive at the Bethlehem manger suffering from heat prostration. Christmas Eve will find us lifting up our weary voices to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Then we rush from the service to get another last gift or visit one last party. So soon it's over. We save the bows, burn the wrappings, strip the tree, and labor over our New Year's resolutions. Too often we've missed the point. We're like the man who goes to the coast but never sees the ocean. The threat of a holiday hijacking is all too real unless we engage our hearts in the true celebration of Christmas joy. We're easily caught up in a pointless and mindless holiday. When we lose sight of the meaning of Christmas, the season is deeply devalued. Unless we truly celebrate Christ, the greatest story ever told will be lost amid the bells, bows, and baubles. Make your holiday a holy day. When Christ was born, the angels rejoiced. Heaven's highest glory was extolled. And the earth would celebrate at that time. I'm not going to go any further with my message today, but I'll say this. When Christ was born, prophecies were cited. When Christ was born, the wise men were delighted, as well as many other people. But now in closing, I would be remiss if I did not ask the question today, do you know Him as your Savior? Have you been saved today by the grace of God that He provides because His cradle would become the cross? Do you know today, without a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? Do you have the absolute assurance today that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? Or are you facing death without God? I would remind you today, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must be born again. There's more to Christmas than simply a holiday. There's more to it than going through the motions. There's more to it than how the world presents it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I say today, if you don't know Him, now's the time to settle it. Today's the day to get ready to meet Him. On this day that is a part of the days that lead up to the 25th day of December, can you honestly say today, I already have the greatest gift. I don't have to wait to the 25th. I already have it because I have Him. He's in my heart. The one who was placed in that manger, who was cradled in the arms of that virgin, who is contained upon that cross, can you say, He's in my heart? That, my friend, is the greatest possession you or me will ever have. Do you know the Christ of Christmas? Heads are